one quick follow-up to our last caller that was asking about a home inspector. He sent in a text and said, you know, I got another question I'm thinking about. I want to know any tips on pre-wired. Yes. Pre-wire everything everywhere. It's expensive. That wire starts adding up. I think when I built my home with Joel, we ended up running three times more wire than originally planned. But, I mean, speaker wire, security wire, extra conduits, just because once the home is done and on the interior, when you start adding and moving and placing, you know, the running wire and fishing it, snaking, it becomes a very time-consuming, very expensive proposition. And, you know, how much do we have in our home that's runs off of electricity and our alarms or
That's a great speakers. Argument for picking your home entertainment contractor early and talk through heavily how many different places you want entertainment, data jacks, you know, everything. So
it's hard to over pre-wire. You know what? While I'm thinking about it, we have a pair of Diamondback tickets. Arizona Diamondbacks, Texas Ranger, Tuesday, July 31st, first pitch, 6:40. These are $105 value tickets. There's two of them. You're in row 18, seats 1 and 2 in the dugout box, so you're right on top. And the best part, it comes with one of the parking passes. So you park in the garage, take the sky rail over the tracks, and it puts you right there. I was supposed to figure out how to give these away during the break, and I forgot. So by the end of this break, I'll have it figured out.
It'll be a trivia question having to do with one of the answers we gave to one of the questions were asked this hour.
Okay.
That's what we'll do.
Sounds good.
All right. Let's run up to Tim, who has a property in Forest Lakes. Beautiful Forest Lakes, Arizona. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. How are you, Rosie?
Good.
So I bought this piece of property. Well, I'm actually in the process of buying it, and I got it for like half of what everything else is going up there.
Right.
Because the people said, well, actually the neighbors said that the land wouldn't perk.
Okay.
But in doing a little research, I found out that actually in 2005, one of the previous owners had actually got a permit through the county and was approved for one of the alternative septic systems.
Okay.
So I was kind of wondering your opinion on it. I think it was like an Advantix system.
Yeah. And there are There are several alternative septic treatment systems that you could use. Just because your property won't perk doesn't mean you can't have a septic system. You're just not going to have a conventional septic system.
Exactly, which is why I was willing to take that risk, especially at half the price of everything else.
You bet. Yeah. A conventional septic system for a 1,500 or 2,000 square foot cabin would be a 1,500 gallon septic dug and placed with the leach field, would probably be something in the neighborhood of $5,000 to $6,000, depending on the hard dig situation. An alternative system is probably going to be starting at about twice that and could pretty easy go to $20,000, just so you know. But you save the money on the purchase, so your basis is still good.
Yeah, I'm still $50,000 to the positive.
There you go. Okay.
But so my original two questions is, they only did a perk test in three different locations, small locations, on that 1 acre. I'm thinking if I could get somebody, I've heard of these soil scientists, something that could go in there and maybe test in different locations and actually get away with a regular system. Because there are other houses right next door. It's a corner lot, actually, that they have regular systems.
Well, absolutely. I mean, to do a perk test, it takes a backhoe, and it's a fairly simple system, but you need to get in there and dig your hole, test the septic, how fast does a certain column of water percolate into the soil. Generally speaking, you're locating the house on the lot first, and then that's telling you where the septic and the leach are most probably going to be located. you know, if you wanted to go the other way and say, hey, well, I can get a perk here, so I'll move the house over there, you know, you could get an experienced septic contractor in the area to kind of walk the property with you and take a stab at it.
Okay. So we're not locked into what, because like you said, they had originally got a permit for, and they had, I seen they had a house written on their permit. So
perfect.
We could just move it somewhere else. So the second part of that question is, I know you're really fond of block homes, but it's not really in my budget at the moment. What type of construction would you recommend for that area?
Boy, I'll tell you, you know, I just toured Happy Jack with the tender fire that lost 34 homes. And I look at the masonry homes with metal roofs that are still standing and homes all the way around them, nothing but ash rubbish. I'm in my mind, at least take the masonry up to windowsill height and then extend the metal roof out with a good shade perimeter. And then from windowsill height to plate height, go ahead and frame it in 2x6 and put whatever kind of exterior siding you want on it. That's one way to kind of meet me halfway.
I can do that.
And I promise you, Tim, in 15 or 20 years, when you haven't spent every other weekend up there repairing your framed house or worrying about it in a fire situation, you're going to be thanking me for a long, long time.
Well, I appreciate the advice, and I hope to move up there permanently in a few years. So
yeah, and then hot dog. The truth is, then, Tim, you can't afford not to do a block wall. This is going to be your permanent home later. And people say that it's not in my budget. Well, what type of block are we talking about here? You know, we had that guy at the beginning of the hour calling with a slump block home. Yep. He's never had to paint it.
61, built in 61.
61. He's never had to paint. You know, you do a stucco home.
50 years of not painting.
That you got to paint every 10 years. You know, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Aside from slump, you know, the next one I'm going to do, it's going to be a split-faced exterior, diamond-polished interior, and the dye is going to be in the CMU itself, foam insulated. So that takes away
finished interior surface.
So no drywall.
Finished exterior
no
surface.
No paint.
And insulation.
It's the right way. It's cheaper.
Termite proof. Fireproof, waterproof. I tell you, I know you've done this for me, Romy, and I still haven't got my act together. I still have Arizona maintenance-free masonry homes in my that's somewhere's in my
your
future.
Retirement.
Just building maintenance-free masonry homes throughout all the favorite mountain locations of Arizona. I need to hang that shingle, man.
You have to do it in conjunction. We were talking about pre-wiring, too. You've got to do it in conjunction with the electrician because you've got to run your conduit inside the CMUs before you foam insulate it. So that's going to take, you know, that's going to increase a little bit of your cost there because of the conduit and the metal and the time that's got to be run there. But when you compare apples to apples at the end of the day when it's done, you know, it may cost you 5, 10% more up front on the build, but every single year that you don't have to paint, caulk, repair drywall.
And just right now, lumber's skyrocketing.
You know what I've been wanting to do?
Lumber is skyrocketing.
I've got a picture. I've been trying to research drywall manufacturing. There's got to be some big drywall manufacturer in Nevada. There hasn't been a week gone by I haven't seen at least two semis coming down 60 on Grand that came off of 93 that are just loaded, stacked to the roof, drywall. There's got to be some big manager, and it's not going to prove it one thing or the other. You can just see that's the demand coming in. Where's it all coming from? I'm just curious like that.
Yeah, we're at a big building pace right now. Shall we get to Leon on garage insulation real quick?
And yes, he called at 7 o'clock.
In the following segment, we'll be giving away Diamondback tickets to a Tuesday evening game with the Rangers, and we'll be getting into Jennifer's soapbox. But right now, it's Leon. Good morning, Leon.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Very well.
So I have an insulated garage, and it obviously this time of year it gets pretty hot in there. I'm just trying to figure out, should I throw some vents in there to get some of the air out? And I didn't know what I was going to do with the insulated garage, but it is insulated. So I was just trying to figure out what are my options and what should I do.
Well, I probably wouldn't ventilate it because you're going to break the fire code. If to do it properly, you would have to build the vent, would have to be in a fireproof containment all the way out through your roof. And by the time you get there, you could have bought a shop blaster evap cooler. That's a combination roll-around evap cooler that's got a toolbox on top with a stereo that you can be out there listening to Rosie on the House in your evap-cooled garage while you're tinking around on whatever. You're almost at the point you could mini-split air conditioning system. It's insulated, so now just cooling the interior is the solution. Venting it, like I say, to be done right and stay in fire code, you might as well put some air conditioning in there, whether it's evap or mini split.
And Leon, venting it, even if you don't vent into the attic, even if you just vent like low registers on the overhead door down low, and then maybe some high vents below the plate line on an outside wall, it's going to create for a pretty dusty environment. I mean, then you've broke the dirt seal for the garage as well. So there's a couple options. The roll around portable coolers are a great option, just to kind of take the heat off fairly inexpensive way.
And if you want to move out to the back patio, entertaining guests, just
roll it out to
the
back patio. So I hope that helps. Insulating the garage was the right thing to do. All right. Let's see if we can take Susan real quick, or are we up too tight?
Let's at least get the question on air.
Okay. Good morning, Susan. This is Rosie at Rosie on the House. How can we help you this morning, ma'am?
Good morning. I'm hoping you can help me figure out where some mystery water/leak is in my kitchen sink area.
Oh, okay.
We have removed part of the cabinet because previously we had the garbage disposal leaking and it damaged the wood. So I'm able to kind of see under there and back there. And at the beginning of the week, we noticed that the back wall, because it's on an exterior wall, the plaster was actually soft and wet. We can't figure out where the water is coming from. And it was after the rain, too. I don't know if I'm dealing with plumbing, if I'm dealing with rainwater somehow getting back there, and I'm not sure who to call because I don't know where the water is coming from.
Okay, let me think about that while we go on a break as to what the best things for you to do. I think I've got an idea or two, and when we get back, we'll come back to helping Susan with the mystery leak at the kitchen sink.